Number one are the magnificent words of the Rambam. Mitzvahs Ner Hanukkah, the mitzvah of the lighting of the candle on Hanukkah. Mitzvah Havivohi Ad Ma'od. What a beautiful term. It is a very, very beautiful, beloved, a beloved mitzvah. Mitzvah Havivohi Ad Ma'od. A person has to be very careful in the performance of this mitzvah, in order to make known the miracle. Now listen to the words that are on the line, because I believe that they are very significant, and I'm taking a paragraph out of the words of Rav Soloveitchik, and I'm going to expand on them. Ulahosin v'shevach hakel. We have to let the miracle be known, and we have to add in our praise of God, v'hodoyo, and to thank Him. V'hodoyo lo, and thank Him, al hanisim she'osa lanu, about the miracles that He did for us and to us. The significance of these words of the Rambam are absolutely enormous. The Rav quotes a Levush, one of the first Shulchan Aruch, who says the following. He says his nusach of the second bracha that we made, She'osa nisim lavoseinu bayom emahein bazman hazeh, his nusach is She'osa nisim lavoseinu bayom emahein ubazman hazeh. And he says, therefore, that we're not merely thanking God for what He did 2,500 years ago. We have to be thanking God about what He did for us in our time, in our generation. And that's how the Rav learns Pshat, and the Rambam is pretty clear that the Rambam is saying that. In other words, you know, I might as well say it to you, you know, say it straight to them. If one does not praise God for the gift of Eretz Yisrael, he cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Chanukah. Can't. If you can't thank and praise God for the miracles that He did to us, fol lechagan. Nobody understood a word I just said. It's Yiddish. I would imagine the best translation of fol lechagan. Go tell it to the Marines that you're thanking God for a miracle He did 2,500 years ago that you didn't experience, you didn't feel, you weren't there, you didn't see it. Oy vey! The Chashmonaim came into the Beis HaMikdash and they looked around for a jar of oil. Oh, they won victories. What are you talking about? If you can't appreciate the Yad Hashem in the victories of our day, give me a break! You can't fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. I can only get out alive when I say this here. I don't know what would happen if I'd say this, you know. Well, also in when I served as rabbi in my shul in Har Nof, you know, within the confines of the shul, as long as it didn't go out into the street, I would be able to say it. But it's clear that the Rambam is telling us that. It's not only clear that the Rambam is telling us that. It's true logically. Logically, it's so. If you don't appreciate what God has done for you here, now, today, this generation, you can tell me that you're so overflowing with joy for what He did in the days of the Chashmonaim. Give me a break. And here I'm going to repeat a real life event that I said a number of months ago, soon after it happened. So those of you who heard it, don't give away the punchline. There are people here who didn't hear the story. The story of when I was driving out of my house on Rehov Agassi. Now Agassi, the next corner, is Katzin Elmo. you turn, if you want to stop your way into town, you turn right at Katzen und Bogen, and there you have two main streets that will take you into town. The first one is Rehov Bet HaDfus, and the second one is Kampfei Shosh. All right. Now, the fact is, to walk from the corner of Agassi and Katzen Ellenbogen to any one of those streets is to Bet HaDfus is 2 minutes walk, 2.5 minutes walk. To go to Kampfei Shosh, it will add about another 30 seconds, another half minute. Now, we're not talking about long distances. So here one morning, innocently, I come to the corner of my block, Agassi, my block and everybody else's block, Agassi, and Katzen Ellenbogen. And there's an absolutely beautiful Jew standing and waiting for a tramp, a hitch. Beautiful black, viber, beautiful, beautiful kapapa. I'm telling you, I couldn't go further. Obviously, I'm going to stop and pick him up. I usually try not to pick people up over there, because whenever I go, leave the house, I'm always late, or I'm going to be late wherever I'm going. And then, with all these people, and all the people at the corner, it always becomes a tamasel merkas hayir. You're going to the center of town? They say, yeah. But I learned already. But then, Merkaz HaIr is Geula. For me, it's Karen Kayera, King George, Geula. So I want to go through all of that. And they always ask me, where are you driving? I say, don't ask where I'm driving. Where do you want to go? Tell me where you want to go. All right. Anyway, this beautiful Jew comes into the car and begins a diyun, a discussion of a different sort. He's not precisely sure whether he wants to go to Beit HaDfus, which is 2 minutes walk, or he may want to go to Kampfei Yesharim, which is 2.5 minutes walk. I'm sitting there innocent, and he says, Kampfei Yesharim. So I tell him, you know where I'm going? I'm going to Kampfei Yesharim. I hear an expression, such a meaningful expression. Hashgachah Providence! Divine Providence! So as I said, sometimes Satan takes hold of me, and he did it this time, and it's a gitter suit. And I turned to him and I said, Un Medinas Yisrael? What about the state of Israel? Silence. Silence lasted no more than about 3-4 significant seconds. And he said to me, Yiddish, I'll translate, Mistana Biste Irech. You are most probably right. What? You are most probably right. In other words, that means the following. The fact that I left my house at a particular moment from Agassi, and I arrived at the corner of Agassi and Katzen Ellenbogen just when he was there, there's no question about it. I was a messenger of the divine. The divine got me out into that car, and this is it. That was for sure. The fact that God turned heaven and earth and brought into being the state of Israel, brought 5.5-6 million Jews back here, turned the world in collision, a universe in upheaval. Mistama. But then, on second thought, you know what I decided? This man was so right. Hashgacha Pratis. You know what Hashgacha Pratis was? That I should pick him up, and I should say to him, Un Medinas Yisrael, and it should go into his kishkis, he'll never forget. The Rebbe Shlomo didn't send me out of my house just to pick him up and give him a harsh look at a ride that he could have done in 2 minutes or 2 and a half. The Rebbeisha brought me out of my house because I was probably the only one driving out of Arlo who would have made a statement like that to him. He did not suspect. You tell me that somebody who says Mistamen Dinas Yisrael, also Nisim Abayseinu, Hashgach the Pratis, the Chashmanoim, the Yevotim, give me a break. If you feel with your whole neshama that this country is simply one big Hashgacha Pratis, if you believe that, then you can celebrate Chanukah Kedas Ukedin and fulfill the mitzvah properly. That will sound good on the video. That's going to sound very good. Okay, that's very good. But you see, I get a little excited. But that's pshat in the Rambam. Ulahosif b'shev avakeh. Ulahosif. Not only you have to be modiyah the nes, not only do you have to make the miracle, but you have to add to the praise and thanksgiving to God our nisim she'oso lanu. And therefore the Talmud goes on to say, it's such a beloved mitzvah, afilu eino ma'yochel, even if a person doesn't have what to eat, elamin atzdaka. He eats only because he receives charity. Shoel omoche kesusa v'okach sheme v'nedos madli. You have to either borrow or sell your coat and buy oil in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. That's how significant the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is. Mitzvah chaviva I admiyo. There's a beautiful sentence in the Pnei Yoshua, one of the Farshim, the Gemara in Shabbos, where he describes Chanukah as being an indication Shechozro Chibor Rishona, God's original love for his people has returned. Here it is. Now, we again have the Beis HaMikdash, we're again lighting candles there, the enemy has been vanquished, there's a rejuvenation of the love between God and the Jewish people. Now I tell you, I do have a very fertile imagination, but I don't think it's that wrong. Do you think for a moment that Matisyahu, when he raised the banner of rebellion, you think he didn't have fierce opposition from within the Jewish world? What are you talking about? Also, his Garay's book, also all of us, one of the great prohibitions of our time, according to a certain segment of our population. You can't start up with the nation of the world, you can't start up with Obama, you can't start up with anybody, you can't. If this is what they want, hakpa'af, freeze, freeze. Nicht freeze. Of course, as long as the freeze is not in Google and the Shah, the center of Merkaz HaYir. What are you talking about? They must have been violently opposed. Who gave you the right? What are you taking arms in your hand? We're not a warring people. We have to accept the yoke of the Greeks. The Golos is... I mean, in Golos in Eretz Yisrael. We're in Golos here anyway. What are you talking about? What do you think? I could write all the editorials in the Yateid Ne'aman of those days. I could write them all. All of the Gedolei Yisrael have always been opposed. Why do you think it was necessary to have the Nes Pach HaShemen? You know what the Nes Pach HaShemen was? The Hashmonaim had been under such internal assault for what they did. Internal assault. You know what Klal Yisrael needed? Somebody who was going to paskin. Were they right or were they wrong? And you know who the Posek is in history? You know who Paskin's in history? The Levitation is the one. God is the one who is the decider. And God sends the very miracle of the Parashem, so you should know for all time, Matisyo, Ubono, Matisyo, and his sons, they were right. They did the right thing. Okay. Next. Our Nisim. Now I didn't make a note of this, but number two is Al HaNisim that I took from an Ashkenaz Siddur. Number three is the Al HaNisim that I took from a Sfarad Siddur. It doesn't really make any great difference, but there are certain things I want to point out. Now, I mean, the first Siddur that I had with an English translation was Ashkenaz, I did that. Al HaNisim, Bala Purkan, Bala Gvuros, Bala Chures, Bala Mulchomos, Shal Sisol, Abu Seinu, Vayomim, Mahen, Tasman, Hazer. Now, the only reason why I wanted the Sfarad is because in the Sfarad you have Al HaNisim and you also have Al HaNifla'ot. Al HaNifla'ot. And here I'm going to repeat a golden oldie. The famous question that is asked by Rabbi Levi Yitzchak and Bardichev, why don't we say Al HaNisim on Pesach? Unbelievable! If Hanukkah and Purim are Al HaNisim, Pesach isn't infinitely more Al HaNisim. Why don't we say Al HaNisim? So here you should know the Chassidic great and the Lithuanian great. They think the same way. They think the same way. In a sense, the definition of the difference between two words is in the Kedushas Levi, and I found it also in a sentence in Rav Soloveitchik. How do you like that? Ultimate Litvish and certainly ultimate Chassidish. And it's a simple, Rav Levi Yitzchak Bardichev makes a simple differentiation between two words. One word is Nes, and the other is Peleg. Now, in the Ashkenaz we have Al HaNisim and Al HaNiflaot. Now, even in that's a Sfarad. And in Ashkenaz, even though, and this is significant, you don't have in the sentence of Al HaNisim, you don't have the word Niflaot, which is Peleg, but you do have it. Alright, so you know, I always leave something out. Hanegos halolu, kodeshem, vein lo rishus lishtamish behem, elo lehosam bilvad, ulahodos, what? Whatever. And in Hanegos halolu that we say after the lighting of the candle, we say nisim and niflos. Ashkenaz doesn't have Nifla'ot in the word in Al HaNisim, but they have it in Hanegos HaLolo. Sfarad has Nisim in Nifla'ot both in Al HaNisim and in Hanegos HaLolo. What's the significance? The significance, first of all, is that there's a difference between Nes and Pella. The difference between Nes and Pella is quite simple. A Nes is an unusual event that takes place under the cover of nature. It's concealed, it's camouflaged. You won't necessarily be able to see it with the naked eye, because if you're not a believer in God, you will say, I think I once mentioned, I can't believe why they taught this to me as a little boy in yeshiva until I grew old and great to figure out that this is a terrible song. Mi Yimaleel, Rok Yisrael, Otan Mi Yimnel. Who can relate the greatness of Israel? That's a pasuk in Tehillim where it says, Mi Yimaleel, Givrot Hashem. Who can relate the might of God? And they turned it into a completely apple course song. You know, we did it. Me and my little broken style will tell me in that. Come, Hanky Paul. Da 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 da. mace is something that takes place and is open to interpretation. The interpretation is, you can say about the victories of the Hashmonaim, Mi Malel Gvurot Hashem, who can relate the greatness of God? Or you can say, no, what are you talking about? This was, these were guerrilla forces. They were able to pounce down upon the Greeks from their hiding places in the mountains. And they, no miracle whatsoever. Nothing. Pele describes something that whoever sees it is overwhelmed to the point where he must say, this is the act of God. It is so beyond nature. Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the Red Sea. Nobody is going to say anything beyond, this is a Pele, a great wonder. Not a miracle. A miracle is cloaked in nature. By a nes, there is a halacha of pirsumei nisav. You have to make the miracle known, because there are a lot of people out there that may not see it as an act of God. They may see it as man acting on his own. That's why the Rambam used the words lehizoyer bo kidei lahodia hanes, to let the miracle. You should know that there was a nes here. Same thing is with Hanukkah. We read a Megillah. Megillat Esther, that which reveals what was hidden.
Purim.
Very good. They listen to me. Purim, we read Megillat Esther. Megillat Esther means to reveal that which is concealed. Here is a sefer that doesn't even have the name of God mentioned in it once.
Hasdeh.
We see God in between the lines of every sentence in the Megillah. So Hanukkah and Purim, which are Nisim, there it's already a mitzvah legalot, to reveal, the farsem, to make known the miracle. A Pele doesn't need to be revealed. The Pele speaks most eloquently for itself. In Parashat Bishalach, there are two great struggles, one at the beginning of the Seder and one at the end of the Seder. At the beginning of the Seder, the struggle is Klal Yisrael, the Yom Suf, Mitzrayim are pursuing them, and finally, wondrously, with a Pele, they cross the Yom Suf. At the end of the Seder, there's a sneak attack of Amalek. Amalek attacks, and following the weakening of Amalek by Yahushua, it says, Vayikra Moshe Mizbeach, Moshe built an altar, Vayikra, and he called the name of the altar, Hashem Nisi, God is my miracle. Why didn't Moshe build an altar after Kriyas Yamsuf and call it Hashem Nisi, God is my miracle?
So
it's simple. Because Kriyas Yamsuf was Pele. Pele doesn't need to be made known. Vilchemet Amalek, the battle against Amalek, was a nes. I mean, you could have said, listen, Yahushua was a great commander, and therefore he was able to weaken them. A nes needs to be made known. A Pele doesn't need to be made known. I once added to this Kedushas Levi, and I think for this it's sufficient reason that anybody who's able to should come and ask for Shagayim from me. You can bring me Kvitlach and ask for Brachas. What's the numerical value of Ness? A Nun is 50, a Samach is 60. What does that add up to? 110. What is the gematria of Pele? Pe is 80, Lamed is 30, that's also 110. But in Pele, you have an Aleph that's added. The Aleph represents that in Pele, the Echad, the Hashem Echad, God Almighty, is clearly seen in Pele. But he's hidden beneath the folds of Nes. So first of all, now you understand another thing. We are thanking God for the Nisim. no great niflaot. You can ask me, what about the Nes Par HaShemen? Wasn't that a Pele? So interesting to note that in the Al-Hanisim, no mention is made whatsoever of the miracle of the oil. None whatsoever. Al-Hanisim is not talking about the oil. The oil indeed is Pele, but the Al-Hanisim is coming to tell us about the struggle that took place. And therefore the God explains that in Hanedos Halol that we say after the lighting of the candles, that's when Ashkenaz finally wakes up to say Al-Hanisim Va'al-Hanifa'ot. Chanukah was made because of the military victory, to make it known that that was the hand, the fist of God. That's Ness. God is concealed within the folds of history, and we have to reveal. Let's read through. Nisim v'alaprokon v'alavuras v'alachoyes al ha-milchamot. What does that mean? V'al ha-milchamot. Are we thanking God for wars? You didn't stop to think about that? I know it. You must probably read the English translation, which adds a number of words over here that don't really appear. And the victories in battle. I don't know. Does it say victories of battle? It says Al-Hamilchamot, on the wars. And if anything, if you're talking about the victories, that was the word before. Va'al-Hatshuot. Salvation. So there's, we're going to go now from one Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik to his great-grandfather, the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi says the following. This is at the beginning of the Shira. Well, I can't say the whole thing will be here. Let's say the following. He says, if you thank God just for the victory, is the victory any greater than the joy that would have been if the war would not have taken place altogether? The Meichel. A Meichel near wars, and we'll just praise you without the wars. She says the following. That Klal Yisrael by Oz Yoshea, you know what they're doing? They're praising God not only for their salvation at the Red Sea, they're also praising Him for the suffering of Mitzrayim. What does that mean? Finally, they are able to perceive that through the suffering of Mitzrayim, they became the vehicle by which God's name became sanctified. He needed us, so to speak. We wouldn't have suffered. There wouldn't have been a great victory afterwards. We say, Hallel. Odecho Hashem Kiani Sunni. What does that mean? We say it. We say it twice. We sing it. We sing it after the party. I thank you, God, because of the suffering. By healing Yeshua, then you were a salvation to me. What's there to thank God about the suffering? Because in the ultimate sense, it is only through the suffering that God's name becomes sanctified in the world through the salvation that comes afterwards. Our Muhammad over here means that we finally realize on some level, there was a greater sanctification of God's name that comes as a result of the suffering. That's the milchamos, not the victory of war. The war itself, also becomes a means by which God's greatness is made manifest in action. העם פן ישראל להשכיח עם תרס לכל הבית, העביר המיקוק רצונך, ועתה, in the days of Mother Theod, the son of Yerman and Khan, God of the Hashmolein, the children, Greece stood up against evil Greece. Where's Greece now? Where's Greece now?
Gone.
No Greece. No Greece. No Greece. Huh? And I always thought Anthony Quinn was a Greek in France. No, I think he's Italian or he's born on the east side. There's nothing, nothing. To make them forget Torah and to make them transgress the statutes that are your will, and you, in your great mercy, you stood there for them in the time of their distress. Three things are said now. Rafta et Rivon, you champion their cause. Danto et dinam, judge their claim. Nokanto et nikvatam, you avenge their wrongs. What's the difference between the three? The difference between the three is the following. When Klal Yisrael suffers, so to speak in a real sense, God is the one who enters the fray in place of Israel. He represents Israel. He's there. Rafta is Livon. The word live is used in the Torah when two people have a disagreement. Kiyeh liv ben anashim, you know, when there are two sides that are opposed to one another. Rafta Livon means that God involves himself so that he is the one who represents Israel in the struggle. You know what? Don't misunderstand. There are three faces to God, and they're all one. Well, it still sounds weird. God plays three roles. Three roles. The first role is that he is there with us in the thick of the struggle. And you know what comes afterwards? Who's going to be the judge? The Shofet Kol Haaretz. Who is the great judge who is going to pass judgment? God comes down from the fray, sits down on the throne of judgment, and done, he is done as the danta, done as the nail, by the way. These three same phrases I used on Purim also. Danta is dinam. You also acted as judge. Not only you acted as plaintiff together with the Jewish people, you also acted as judge. And you pass judgment on what's supposed to happen to the enemies of Israel. And you know what you went there and you did? You became the one then who carried out your own judgment. Not counter as the Muslim. The judge decided this is the punishment of the nations who have stood up against the Jewish people, and you're going to carry it out. God serves in those three roles, all in one. Now here, if we just look at it, I think there would be four, five terms. Masarto Giborim Biat Chaloshim, Rabim Biat Miatim, Temeim Biat Ahodim, Rishoim Biat Sadikim, Vizedim Biat Oskei Torotecha. I think the first two represent the Greek enemies. You gave the mighty into the hand of the weak, the many into the hand of the few. The last two, Rishoim Biat Sadikim, the evil into the hands of the righteous. And Zaydim, it's as bad as it sounds, and even worse. Evil people, biyad oskei Torotecha, into the hands of those who study Torah. Those last two are talking about the enemy from within. Remember, there were two great enemies that Jews faced in the day of Matisyahu Bono. There was the conqueror, the occupier from without Greece, but there were the Midyavnim, there were the Hellenists from within, the left, the extreme left. There, unfortunately, what we suffer from our own is sometimes infinitely worse and more painful, certainly, than what we suffer from those from without. The Shoyim Biyat Tzadikim, And Zaydin Biaroske Toratecha, that refers to the enemies from within. The enemies from within. And I found that beautiful Rambam in a completely different context, where the Rambam in Mishnah Torah talks about the tzedukim, those who rejected the oral law, those who rejected Torah Shabbat Peh, and he refers to them as Zaydin, HaZaydin Halal. And then in the middle, between the first two and the last two, we have Tmeyim B'yam Tahodim, and I believe that can go either way. It speaks about the enemy from without and the enemy from within. Yes, Annette?
I'm going to ask a silly, funny question.
A silly question?
Yeah,
did you ask a silly question?
Why is a grandfather called a Zaydin?
Right.
That question would be more appropriate on Purim than it would be on Hanukkah. Maybe it's for that reason that they call him Zaydin. My Zaydin. You need a little humor too? All right, let's go further. Rishon Yatzadik Mzeid Marezu, the Chos Yisro, Shein Godol V'Kadosh Baal Olamecha, and you made a great name for yourself in your world. For your people Israel, you made great salvation. They came to the Beit HaMikdash and they cleaned out the Heichal and they purified the Beit HaMikdash. No mention of any miracle of lasting for 8 days. The Kodesh Shmonas Yemei Chanukah Eilu LaHodos UlaHalel LeShimcha HaKadosh. All right. Okay. I'm not going to make it all, but I'm going to try my best. We say Hallel, a full Hallel, all 8 days of Chanukah. It's all going to come into everything we're talking about. Mo Shiv LaHashem Kol Tag Moloy Alei. How can I repay the Lord for all His goodness to me? Coast Yeshua says, I will lift the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. Negdom alachol ha'ayom. Grievous in the Lord's sight is the death of His devoted ones. Yakor b'enei Hashem does not mean dear. Yakor b'enei Hashem means it's difficult. It's difficult for God when His devoted ones die. And therefore, Ona Hashem k'ani avdecha. The last two sentences. Unto you, I will bring a thanksgiving offering. One of the korbanos is Todah. Todah is the name of a korban. And the halacha we once had gave a shir on the arvod tzarichim lahodos. There are four who must bring a thanksgiving offering, a Todah. Those who go down to the sea in ships, those who cross the desert, those who were incarcerated and set free, and those who were ill and became healed. And then the halacha adds, anybody who was in a dangerous situation can bring the korban todah. All right? L'chol bar zeh todah, to you, I'm going to bring a todah offering. U'b'shem Hashem echdor. And I will call in the name of God. Nedorai Hashem Hashalem. I will pay my vows. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord. Nedor Olachol in the presence of all His people. Bechatzrot Beit Hashem in the courts of the house of the Lord in your midst, Jerusalem, Hallelujah. Is it Chatzrot Beit Hashem means Har HaBayit, temple compound? Those are the courtyards of the house of God. That's not Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is separate from Chatzrot Beit Hashem. So now, what does it mean over here when it says Bechatzrot Beit Hashem, Besochech Yerushalayim, where are you going to do it? You can't be two places at one time. Is it going to be Bechatzrot Beit Hashem, Temple Mount, courtyard, or Yerushalayim? So the Nesiv Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin says the following. The Korban Todah was different. The Thanksgiving offering was significantly different than all other offerings. The person who makes it, brings that kind of an offering, has to bring with it 40 loaves of bread and matzah. Three different kinds of matzah, one of chametz, a total of 40 breads. One bread, a lot of bread. And he has to bring it in sacrifice, okay? But different than all other peace offerings, the time in which one has to complete the eating of the bread and this animal that is brought is severely limited. It's one day. All other offerings, you have two days and a night in between. One day, and really one day, doesn't give you a whole night, it gives you until midnight. This is an impossibility. It's just an impossibility. So obviously, what was the intent of the halacha? The intent of the halacha is somebody who wants to give thanksgiving to God is put into a position he can't do it alone. He's going to have to invite as many friends as he has to come and join him.
He'll never eat up against the Baha'i.
Certainly not going to eat up 40 breads. So you know what people did? They invited their friends, their mishpucha, poor people, strangers. We're having a talk, I'm sure this must have happened in Yerushalayim. I think Yerushalayim in the days of the Beis Hamikdash didn't have to make supper at home. There was always another, I imagine there must have been, in time to come, there'll be big wall signs. Shmuel ben Bel is making a carbon toda over here. Everybody's invited. Come one, come all. He needed a lot of people. What was the purpose of a lot of people? So you will tell them what you're thanking God for. You will make the miracle known. You will make God's kindness known. The Nitzitz says that therefore means there are two aspects, two sides to the carbon toda. The two sides are one, bringing the sacrifice. Two, letting everybody know why you're bringing the sacrifice. Now let's take the last three psukim in this small hashiv, and we're going to divide. Do you see? I was very careful with my lines over there. I have a line on the Lecha Ezbach Zevach Toda. And then I have a line on Uvashem Hashem Ekra. I couldn't shut the lines over there. And then I take the next pasuk, and I also divide it in two. Nedarei Hashem Hashalein, second half Nedam Olacharama. I divide the last pasuk in two. Bechatzrot Beit Hashem, Betalcher Yerushalayim, Hallelujah. So the Tzitz says, brilliant. There are two dimensions. There are two parts to Mitzvah Korban Toda. The formal part was which is bringing the sacrifice, and then its substance is telling everybody what God did for me. Take each pasuk now. Each pasuk. The first half talks about the formal fulfillment of the mitzvah of Korban Todah, the total sacrifice. And the second talks about the individual's subjective miracle. Watch. L'chor es bar zerach Todah. To you, God, to you I'm bringing the Todah sacrifice. That's what the Torah says. You have to bring a total sacrifice. You know what I'm going to do? When I do it, Ubishem Hashem Ekra, I'm going to call out in the name of God and say, Chabesh Lalam, Hashgache Pratis. That's what I'm going to say. The second pasuk, Nedarei Hashem Hashalim. I'm going to pay my pledge to God. How do I pay my pledge to God? By bringing the sacrifice that I said I was going to bring. But there's a second part of it, that sacrifice I bring in the Beit HaMikdash, but I have to let people know what God did for me. That's going to be Megdano Lechol Amo in the presence of all of his people. And therefore the last pasuk is certainly understood. The korban, which is the formal part of the Todah, that's Bechatzos Beis Hashem. That's in the courtyard of God. But where am I going to tell people about it? B'tochechi Yerushalayim, hallelujah. In the midst of Yerushalayim. What a brilliant shot. He takes a look at the when I say B'tochechi Yerushalayim, that brings to mind something else. This goes back 10 years. Oz Yosher. Tuviemo, Titaemo, Yochlemo. There are eight words in Oz Yosher that are slightly strange to say the least. Anybody had a sitter? Readily available? Huh? Titaemo? The Titaemo? But then, even earlier on, eight different words. Well, why to the Amo bring him? Ken, you've earned your keep. Here it is, Oz Yosher. Makros part of the Kedlo Yorah Vayon, Nivcha Shal Yishotu Yamsa, Tahomot Yehasyumu. The waters of the depths will cover who? Yehasyumu? Him? Them? You know, there's a simple way to say this. Tahomot Yehasum will cover them. That's the word for them. Then it goes on to say, Teshalach Aroncha, you send your wrath, Yochlemo Karkash, you eat them or him, I'm not sure. Yeah, I am sure, but for the moment I'm not sure. Yochlemo Karkash, you eat him, consume him, destroy him like straw. Why doesn't it say, Teshalach Aroncha, send your wrath against the enemy, Yochlein, and eat them, consume them, destroy them like straw. Alright? Erdof, the enemy says, Erdof, Asig, Achalek, Shalal, I'm going to run after them, I'm going to catch up with them, I'm going to divide the spoils. Tila Emo Nafshi, my soul, it means humility, my will, everything that I want, everything that I covet. I'm going to be filled with it all. Tim La'ein. Finish. They think that they're going to be full with all of the spoil of the end. Ode Kharim. Tori Shemo Yadi. Tori Shemo. Like the beginning of the ship. Give me a break. Tori Shem Yadi. My hand will cast them out. And then, of course, the ones that we had. No, Tisol is Yemincha. You stretched out your hand. Tivlo Emo Oretz. The earth swallowed them. Tivlo Ein. Plain, simple Hebrew. Tivlo Ein. That's not what it says. No, Chisa Bechamna. No, Ozan Halleth. Ele Moav Yochazem Moav. The mighty of Moav are going to be begin to tremble. Yep. You got it all. And then we have our Yavam Hashem, to the Emo with Tita Emo, bring him, Jewish people, the Tita Emo, the Hamachloch. Okay. So many of the Mephoshim say that this is a poetic, biblical style.
Shira.
That's right, Shira. Poetry. Okay. The Ksava Kabbalah says, no. This is very significant. Yoch Lemo. What does the mem represent? The mem is plural, yoch len. What does a vav and o mean? Oto, that's singular. Each one of these eight words is a contraction of singular and plural, all in one. And what's the point? The point is, God consumed them, all the mighty hosts of Egypt, the big them, like there were no more than one person. He didn't need to expend any more effort. It was done as though it's one. When God is going to bring the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael, you will bring him, them. The totality of the Jewish people as though they were one person. The contraction of plural and singular gives you the meaning of these eight words. And one of the examples that he gives, and then we can add a number of examples ourselves. B'tochechi Yerushalayim? How many times he said, how many life? Many. You should have many more times to say Hallel. And just remember me when you say it. B'chatzos Beis Hashem B'tochechi Yerushalayim Hallelujah. What's B'tochechi? B'tochechi. You know this, Yerushalayim? B'tochechi. What's it mean? He says it's a contraction. It's a contraction. And the contraction can be understood, well, the way I write this is, B'tochech Yerushalayim, in your midst Yerushalayim, and you can also read it as B'tochi Yerushalayim. I am in Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim is in me. It means first person and second person. The word B'tochechi represents the great dual relationship of Yerushalayim to the Jewish people and the Jewish people to Yerushalayim. B'tochechi. I am B'tochech and you, Yerushalayim, are B'tochi. Im eshvachech Yerushalayim tishach yivini tipak lishoni lechiki in lo eskerechi. Eskerechi. What kind of word is eskerechi? Why not simply eskerech, I remember you? Because it works both ways. We remember Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim remembers us. Tidbak l'shomi l'chiki in lo eskerechi, in lo a'alek Yerushalayim al rosh simchati. You will come across words like this, and you already begin to get the idea what it means. You have to look for the contraction. You can have to look for two words being brought together. And they may be the exact opposite, a plural and a singular, a first person, a second person. It can also, in many cases, be a contraction of gender, male and female. Anything. By the way, why did I yet? I even forgot to tell you, why am I talking about this? So first of all, because it's Hallel, okay? That's good. Plus Hallel. But Mosur. Mosur Yishu Mosi. Vishom Toto Nizabe'ach. Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah.
Comes out very good. Shom Toto Nizabe'ach. Where is Todah Nizabeach sacrificing the Todah? Sacrificing the Todah is Bechatzros Beis Hashem. There, in the Beis Tivasi. But then as far as relating the miracle, that place takes place elsewhere. All right. You know what? I may be able to give you a little taste of the last part of the shiur, which really requires a shiur in and of itself, but you're a bright bunch over here. You'll get it. Chassidut, I write with it. That's Yehuda. This is going to be in Parsha Vayigash, that Yehuda, Yaakov is on his way down to Mitzrayim in order to see his son Yosef alive. They stop at the way of Beersheba. From Beersheba, Yaakov sends one man ahead. There's Yehuda Sholach Lefonav and Yosef. Yehuda he sent before him, ahead of him, to Yosef. Lahoros Lefonav, to prepare ahead of him. Goshenah. Vayavo Eret Arts of Goshen, and they came to the land of Goshen. So here is the Heilige Bnei Yisrael. I think of Nachum Mendel Michimino, one of the Hasidic greats. He asks a question that at first lets me say, well, what kind of question is this? He asks, why does it say Goshenah? Why doesn't it say Le Goshen? So you all know the Rashi that appears a good number of times, that a word that needs a lamed at the beginning, so in place of the lamed in the beginning, you put a hey at the end. Eile, Bnei Yaakov Habo'im Mitzrayma. Arzo Canaan. He went out of here. The hay takes the place of the lamed. So you wonder, why does he ask it? When you get the answer, then you'll know already why he asks the question. But no, it's not written Le Goshen. It's written Goshenah. And by the way, you have the same thing two words later. Vayavohu Arzo Goshen. Arzo Goshen is as though it would have said Le as Goshen. Each one of the letters, Gin, Gimel, Shin, Nun, Hey, represent another assault against the Jewish people. There are those enemies of Israel, and you may remember we talked about it when we learned a selection from the Rambam's letter to the Jews of Yemen. There are those who attack the guf of the Jewish people. There is a gufanim threat to the Jewish people.
That's
extinction.
That's
Purim. It's Purim. It's Mitzrayim. It's Holocaust. Gufanim. There are those who have assaulted the Jewish people throughout history, sichli, intellectual assaults. Greece didn't want to destroy the Jewish people. What did we say in our Nisim? It's an intellectual assault. Greek philosophy, Socrates, Aristotle, that was the assault of the Jewish people. So we have Kufani. We have Sichli, Nishmati. Nishmati. Nishmati, in a sense, represents the idea of wanting to change the will. Nefesh doesn't mean only the living, that which lives within Jewish human beings. Their will, changing the way they can conduct themselves. The way they conduct themselves. This may very well, by the way, in each one of these three, you can really, I wrote there, down at the bottom, Kufani is Parasumadai, because there was Haman who wanted Lahashmit, Lahari, Lahari. Nashi I wrote as Babel, but it could have been Parasumadai too. Sichli was definitely Yavon. Yavon was Sichli. What does the hate stand for? The next Golos after Yavon was going to be Golos Rabi. The Golos that has extended until our days. That one was Hay, Hakol. Every different way and means of assaulting and attacking and overpowering and overwhelming and destroying the Jewish people, everything. Everything Golos. Now, everybody except David Wolf, or maybe Fran Ishtel Kufal, can answer the next question. What are the significance of these four letters? Who said that? Who said that?
Leanne.
Those are the four letters that appear on the svivon, on the dreidel in Hutzlars.
Nes
gadol hayasham. So now the Bnei Yisrael says, now you know why they didn't write Liko Shem. Because when Yehuda is coming down to its height, you know what that is? He's the first one who is really going into Golos. He takes the first step into one of the many exiles that Jews are going to suffer from during the course of their history. So instead of writing Likoshen, Torah wrote Goshen so that he can include those letters of the Sivivon. And he says, there's so much that he writes over there. I really need a whole shiur just on this. But you know, there's next year, I guess, or the year after. He says that the minig of playing with a svivon, with a dreidel, is a holy and ancient minhag by Klal Yisrael. Do not make light of it. But of course, he also adds the fact that in their days they made them of minhag wood. I still remember playing with the wood one, and then there were the others. I never understood it until last year, this time. There are others that are made out of Ofelet Yitzuka, molten lead. Ofelet Yitzuka. It's 1 year since the war of Ofelet Yitzuka. He says, why did they use eights? Because you will come to the Haftorah, of Parsha Vayigash, Yecheskel talks about taking two pieces of wood. One says,